If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
Welcome, friends, to Podcast Unlocked. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show for April 6, 2021. It's episode 489. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, and I want to welcome the rest of the panel this week. As usual, joining me, of course, Miranda Sanchez.
Hi, hello. Welcome, everyone.
The Bamtastic Destin Legary making his triumphant return.
Bam! What is up, everybody? Let's get hype for this show.
Peaking that audio on, level. Ryan. Producer's nightmare. I love it. And then friend of the podcast, welcoming him back, Lord Cognito himself from the Iron Lords podcast. Welcome back, my friend.
Absolute pleasure to be back in the realm of Unlocked. When you do have the bad signal, I had to be here. A lot to talk about. And as baseball fans, a lot to talk about as well.
That's right. Yeah, we've got a very, very interesting discussion to be had this week. In fact, I was so happy putting together the run of show this week because, you know, I don't have to beat the dead horse, but you guys know that Unlocked for a lot of the last entire generation, a lot of third-party talk, not as much about stuff going on with Xbox itself, because there hasn't been always as much. But this week, it is just all Microsoft, all like things that could not be talked about on Beyond or NVC. So it's going to be a fun show. First, just a quick, once again, got to hammer this home to everybody, because I know not everybody watches every week necessarily. IGN Games, that is our new home on YouTube, youtube.com/IGN Games. The Unlocked YouTube channel is no more. We are now under a new home at YouTube, along with our friends at Beyond and NVC and GameScoop. So subscribe over there. There is an Unlocked playlist if that is convenient for you, but please sub to us over at youtube.com/IGN Games. All right. With that, why waste any more time? Lord Cognito, let's talk baseball, and I know the rest of the panel's eager to weigh in on the sort of larger side of this that's not baseball-specific, but first of all, we've just got, on the surface level, we got some great news. MLB The Show 21, not only is it finally coming to Xbox this year as we knew, but it is launching day one into Game Pass. LC, please respond to this just simply as a baseball fan before we get into the larger platform discussion here.
As a baseball fan, this is a dream come true. And, you know, MLB The Show, in my opinion, is just the definitive experience. But it's as a baseball fan, having a licensed game on the Xbox platform that's simulation based at the opening week, the announcement and opening week. Couldn't have hit harder. I got a ton much more to say if you want me to go on, but man.
That's why we have.
Yes.
Yes, go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really special for me, Ryan, because, you know, at the end of the day, I've grew up playing a lot of these baseball games, whether it be, you know, triple play baseball, MVP baseball, you know, RBI. And the thing that, for me, it holds a special significance is my first E3 was 2015. And I remember meeting Phil Spencer for the first time. He may have been president just very briefly. And at the time during FanFest, one of the questions were like, hey, what can we do to improve Xbox? And me being selfish as a gamer, instead of thinking these elaborate things, I'm like, how come we don't have a baseball game on the platform? So I know we'll get into the ramifications, but, you know, this is special. You know, this is a true dream come true from a simulation standpoint. This is the gold standard. And MLB The Show on Xbox, and again, day and day, is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, this is a miracle that we have a simulation baseball game at all in the entire industry, because MLB The Show is it. You know, there's RBI Baseball, which MLB actually develops and publishes itself. But you and I both know that's not a hardcore baseball fan game. It is what it is. It's a casual baseball experience. MLB The Show has been the gold standard for so many years, and thank goodness it's good, because if it wasn't, as baseball fans, we'd be out of luck. But yeah, absolutely. It is such great news that it's launching into Game Pass, just a huge get. And now I want to bring in the rest of the panel. I'm going to go to Destin first here. Destin, the obvious next thing to talk about with this is that this is a Sony game that is launching into Xbox Game Pass on day one, and it's not going to do that on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 because there is no Game Pass over there. I mean, the optics on this are incredible for Microsoft.
There is text in this trailer that says the game has changed, and I can't think of anything more fitting to go along with this announcement about MLB The Show 21 coming to Game Pass than that text. First of all, you can sign up for Game Pass for $1 for a month, right? So yeah. Basically, if you're on Xbox, you're getting MLB The Show for $1, or you can at least play it for a month for $1, or you can pay the subscription fee. Meanwhile, on the PlayStation 5, you're getting it for $70. It's also an incredible trip to see the PlayStation logo at the start of the trailer on the Xbox channel. This is really, really significant for the industry, for Game Pass, for Xbox, and it says a lot about the collaborations that Xbox is going out and going for and getting. Now, these agreements are made ahead of time, and the publisher and developer come to an agreement, a financial agreement, about how they'll be paid that they're happy with before they enter into these Game Pass agreements. So I've seen a lot of talk online about, oh, this is like Game Pass. I'm really, really worried about the developers. The developers have talked about this multiple times. Phil Spencer has talked about how the payment structure works. So don't worry about that aspect, because largely the resounding feedback has been this is positive. Now, my larger question is, why is Sony doing their fans dirty? This is a fantastic deal for Xbox, for Game Pass. Sony has to do something either with PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Now, because fans are feeling burnt by this, and on the PlayStation platform, of course. And meanwhile, Xbox fans are just cheering in the stands to
nice
for a baseball reference, if you want one, about this collaboration. It's really trippy. It's so trippy to see the PlayStation logo on an Xbox trailer. It's, I don't know, like, where are we going from here? What's next?
Well, I mean, on that note, to be clear, so this is an MLB deal. This is, yep, MLB dictating all of this. I mean, it's MLB is the reason that this game is on Xbox. MLB is the reason that it's on Game Pass. I mean, if you look past the totally justified fanboy excitement here, which, I mean, bask in it, enjoy it. We've been waiting for moments like this where it's like, yes, a true win for Microsoft. It's, you know, with no strings attached. This is awesome. But you know, this is something that MLB wanted to do, and I think it's brilliant because it's the game's coming to Xbox for the first time. You know, there are many, many, many baseball fans on Xbox who probably don't know the series, because if they, yes, just don't game on PlayStation, they've heard of it, but they probably haven't. Many of them haven't played it. So, what better way? You know, MLB's looking. They're looking long term here. They're not just thinking about 2021. They want to get people hooked on this game so that they're playing it and spending money with it, whether it's, you know, the deluxe edition for next year or this year. You know, they're ultimately, they are in this to get exposure and people and players into the game and playing baseball games and thus watching real baseball games. I mean, there's a much bigger picture here for MLB. And in that regard, I think it's very smart to just come right to Xbox and right at the gate, put it right on Game Pass to put it in front of as many people as possible. Miranda, what are your thoughts on this?
The only baseball game that I've played is backyard baseball, and I had a hell of a time
with
it. Yeah, I love the backyard games, but that's not what this is. I think this occurrence is kind of a one-off, as exciting as it is. I think it is apt for us to be excited to see something that is coming usually from Sony on, especially Game Pass, and Dustin just nailed it when saying, hey, Sony... A lot of us have been saying this. It's like, hey, why don't you have any service comparable to Game Pass? Like, when is that actually going to happen? Like, these one-off free games for the PS5 that happen with, that people have probably already played, that's not cutting it. And I don't know if Sony's ever going to budge, and I feel like they kind of have to at some point, because honestly, we say it like every week, I feel like, at this point, but Game Pass just keeps getting better. And it's honestly such an awesome thing to see, because it is such a wonderful consumer product. Sorry, my cat is actually attacking me right now. She's really excited about Game Pass. So I think it's great to have just another thing to add to Game Pass that is ready for us to be excited for. And I am curious to see like what sort of big deals like they'll have for this in the future for Game Pass. I mean, honestly, if you just having Bethesda, like that whole lineup, just adding to Game Pass, that's still just huge. And obviously that was a very expensive acquisition, but I feel like it just keeps getting better. And I am so happy for that. Also overwhelmed because there are so many games to play.
Yeah, Lord Cognito. Go ahead, Destin.
There's a lot to dive in there. Yeah. To elaborate on your point, Miranda, PlayStation has a few things like, PlayStation Plus has the PlayStation Collection, which allows you access to like 18 of their Megaton games. I know Bloodborne's on there. I believe God of War is on there.
That's only on PS5 though, for sure.
Yeah, only on PS5. And then there's PlayStation Now, which has like 800 games or something like that. But 400 of them are streamable, and the streaming service has been largely documented as quite poor. And then there's about 400 downloadable games, but the library is a lot of like older stuff that's been out for a long time. They're not where they need to be with the PlayStation Now service, which is where they have an opportunity to compete with Game Pass, but they're just not leveraging it in the way that I think they should be. Game Pass is just new games constantly being refreshed. It's just a really, really enticing service that users can get in on day one. And look, I'm not a baseball fan, Ryan. I know you and Lord are big baseball guys. I will play MLB The Show 21. And that's exactly what MLB wants.
Exactly.
They want new fans. Yeah, they want new people to get into their MLB The Show 21 ecosystem. And as somebody, like, I've read a lot about Game Pass and like what's going on there. And here's the thing. People will spend more money with Game Pass at the end of the day. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how, you know, sales wind up versus PlayStation versus Xbox. And I think there's going to be a lot of data that we don't know about for MLB The Show 21. But MLB is going to be largely happy with this, I would guess, because of those prearranged agreements with Microsoft.
Yeah, before I go back to Lord Cognito here, Destin, you bring up a good point. I'm glad you reminded me. You're talking about how this will be worthwhile for MLB. And granted, this is a different example. It's not an apples to apples thing. But if you go watch my IGN Unfiltered interview with Sean Crankle from Night School Studio, makers of Oxenfree and After Party, I actually talked to them about this because they brought Oxenfree, which I think all of us love, into Game Pass after the fact, after it had been out, and then they launched After Party right into it. And Sean told me, very interesting, because I was asking him everything that gamers have wondered, like, well, wait a second, you know, how does this work economically for you guys? And he was saying that, yeah, you know, they make it work. They not only kind of take a lot of the risk out in the Game Pass deal, at least for them, because every developer can have a different Game Pass deal. But what stuck out to me that he said was that they saw spikes in sales on all platforms that Oxenfree was on after it went into Game Pass, because, you know, maybe people might end their Game Pass subscription, but remember that they, well, I love that game, I love that Oxenfree, and then they buy it. or they might double dip and buy it also on another platform like their Switch or something. That doesn't necessarily apply to something like MLB The Show that's not on the Switch. But the point is there are a lot of things that we're not privy to seeing as gamers behind the scenes on the business side, that there are clearly advantages, many of them, to going into Game Pass that Microsoft is making it worth these developers' while. Mm-hmm. And LC, I'm curious, now we have, MLB The Show, this news followed Outriders, again, not the biggest, I think respectfully, it's safe to call that one probably like the next tier down from like a Final Fantasy, to use another game in Square's lineup.
You could compare it to Destiny, which is also on Game Pass.
Bam.
Yeah. Boom. But like, boom. Talk about Cognito. Talk about kind of the third party situation now. I almost wonder if we're going to start to see a snowball effect.
You just read my mind, Ryan, because that's what I wanted to jump on. I mean, this to me represents a paradigm shift in the sense of how next generation warfare is going to be fought. Because in the past, Sony was very aggressive with third-party timed exclusives. And if there was one Achilles heel you would say about Game Pass was outside of the first-party titles day and date, third-party games would come later in the cycle. What's amazing about what's happening, and I think it even started with Octopath Traveler, which is a Switch exclusive, a JRPG that has its own base. As Destin mentioned, Outriders. As a looter shooter fan, I feel games like that, like Destiny and Outriders, are perfect for engagement in Game Pass. You know what I mean? Those type of ecosystems. Now you have MLB The Show, day and date. So to me, I look at what Microsoft is doing, and I say, okay, they may say we may not go after the third party exclusive in that manner, but we are putting so much value on Game Pass that we're making it the ultimate value proposition. And that is going to be a tough thing for Sony to combat if Microsoft remains aggressive. And all signs seem to point that maybe this is the route they take. And what's kind of amazing about this whole situation is Game Pass is growing. And like Miranda said, like right now, we know about the Bethesda deal, right? We know about first party, the studios from Xbox Game Studios that they're going to be developing. They're growing when those quote unquote bangers haven't come yet, right? So that's exciting to see this level of growth and commitment. And I just think that the battle lines have changed, man. And this is going to be a very exciting generation. MLB The Show, another point I want to make out about the deal that I don't think it's stated a lot is that it's also on streaming devices. So now we're talking about that future plan of Game Pass, xCloud, in ecosystems that normally might not buy an Xbox console. Now you can stream it to mobile. We know iOS is coming. We know eventually TV, PC. We've seen Phil traveling to Bethesda on his laptop with the, with a game going on as far as xCloud game streaming. So this is truly future thinking, long game stuff. And it's exciting. And again, the last point I'll make is the pure calculation of the move. Opening week of baseball, right?
Yes. And not a coincidence.
Phil must know what the significance of that move means. Especially like Destin said, this is a PlayStation synonymous brand game. And now as a PlayStation gamer, you feel kind of a way about it. Like, they're, in a sense, getting it for free as opposed to, this service. So tremendous move. I think it's only the beginning. It's truly an exciting time to be a gamer. And Game Pass just clearly seems to be one of the best deals in gaming right now.
And Lord, the perception is changing and we're seeing it. I feel like a new story is popping up every day. Kotaku, Verge, Forbes, IGN's own Brian Altano. My main box is Xbox now, and I play the exclusives on PlayStation. Why? Because they have Game Pass. I can play these third parties day one. I can play all the exclusives day one on Game Pass, and it's really, really converting people and driving sales for the Xbox brand. It's really fascinating to see this shift and recognition that Xbox is forward thinking and backwards thinking, if we want to talk about backwards compatibility support. And they're just really creating this amazing ecosystem for gamers. And Sony needs to catch up. Now, I don't want to dig on Sony. I actually just want to see what Sony is going to do to compete, because this should be driving competition, which is going to mean wins for the PlayStation brand also.
Yeah,
where is it?
Exactly that. Like, I want that. I play, although we are here on Unlocked, like, I play all the systems. I have a Switch. I have a PS5. I have not touched my PS5 much. I feel so bad about that because people are still trying to find them. But I feel like the pull there just isn't the same because they don't have that sort of Game Pass sort of system. And honestly, having Game Pass is really such an in for a lot of games that maybe I missed when I was younger. Or maybe I could see a lot of people who didn't have a game or an Xbox growing up can now get into those games because they are on Games Pass. And that's something that I'm looking for Sony to have, and they just don't. And that's very off-putting in a way. And also, controllers, guys. I will always come back to this. I just want to use my Xbox controller.
That offset analog, huh? To what everybody's saying, I mean, I feel like Microsoft... is just make their moat is getting wider. Game Pass, I feel like, is their moat around the castle. And it's the longer every day that Sony isn't spinning up their own comparable service, which for all we know behind the scenes, they might be doing that right now, readying it for a summer, you know, E3, but not E3 because they're not an E3 announcement, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But it just seems like, that's what it feels like to me is it makes it harder for Sony to catch up when there's just this continuous momentum. We're seeing it. Like you guys are saying, every week it feels like there's two or three new Game Pass announcements, whether it's MLB The Show, whether it's Outriders actually releasing, whether it's the ID at Xbox Indie Showcase, where I think, what was it? 22 of those games, many of which looked awesome, launching day one into Game Pass. It's just, there comes a point where it's Sony's going to have a hard time playing catch up on this.
Yeah, I mean, again, battle lines are drawn, and what I like about it is the diversity. Yes, because there's something for everybody. Even Miranda, right? She may not be interested in MLB The Show as much, but you know, she may like Octopath Traveler, right? She may be getting invested in Outriders. And the thing about it is just the ultimate value proposition, as well as the ease of entry. Even if you're not interested, because it's in the service, you may now be curious. Yeah, your friends are playing it. Let me try it. And the last point, Destin made a good point too. Being in that ecosystem, because you almost feel like you're getting away with something, the data may show on their end that, you know, gamers are more inclined to spend on microtransactions and other things that they may not have. And the last point, and I think, Ryan, you'll appreciate this, is that what I like is that Game Pass is almost pseudo becoming like the sports console again, you know, with MLB The Show, obviously the EA deal with Madden, sure, NHL, you know, it's pretty exciting because there's some gamers, you know, I don't want to just, you know, label people, but, you know, casual gamers, so to speak, right, who may for a year purchase a Madden or an NBA 2K or a Call of Duty, and that's their main games for the year. Now you look at both platforms, and if you can pick up this service for 10 to 15 a month, right, and have all those games in that service that you would have bought anyway, again, value proposition, it becomes almost a no-brainer. And Sony's going to have to figure out how they combat that, whether it be more aggressive timed exclusives or bulking up PS Now, because a lot of people in the PlayStation community say, hey, how come at least it's not even in PS Now or, you know, plus like how Game Pass is? This is something they're going to have to address.
You look at a game like Descenders, who say that they quadrupled their sales when the game came to Game Pass. What is this going to do for MLB? People are going to want to say, I own this game. They're going to convert to sales, and it's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, most games are available for purchase at a discount through Game Pass. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yep.
So, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. And I think there's another part of this, too, just piggybacking on what all of you are saying, and that is, you know, with Xbox... You can almost say that Phil Spencer's playing 4D chess here, because they've got all this momentum going now with these third party things. But to what I think one of you was saying earlier about first party, that stuff is coming. I mean, I know people are tired of hearing that it's coming rather than it's here. But that's the reality is it is all coming, along with all the Bethesda stuff, as Miranda talked about. And by that point, you're talking about Game Pass will have accrued all this momentum, and this it's already this tremendous must-have service. And then you'll start to see Halo Infinite go in there day one. Psychonauts 2 go in there day one. Hellblade 2, Forza Motorsport,
Avowed, Fable,
you know, you know, Avowed,
Everwild, Flight Starfield, Simulator, Elder Scrolls,
Elder Scrolls
starts
6.
To snowball.
Like, it just goes. Yeah. It just keeps going. And it's like, so it's, you look, all the groundwork they're laying now, it's just going to level up. It's just going to go to the next level once the first parties finally start delivering. So it's just really awesome to see this. And this was, I mean, this MLB The Show thing, I guess I should finish the segment by saying that I don't know. Is this, can we just refer to this controller as Crow? Because I think I have to eat it. Because just a few weeks ago on Unlocked, we were talking about, like, there's no way. The question came up, would MLB The Show come to Game Pass? No way, because it would make Sony look bad. So I'll just eat this. This is the Crow.
You're a man of your word. You're a man of your word. I respect it.
I mean, but again, thinking deeper about it, it's really smart on MLB's part because they want to get people interested in this game, not just for this year, but for when it's on Xbox next year and the year after and the year after. And they know, MLB knows, that if baseball fans try MLB The Show, granted, we haven't reviewed MLB The Show 21 yet, but history suggests that if Xbox gamers try MLB The Show 21, they're going to find a fantastic baseball game and they're going to want to spend time with it. They're going to want to spend money on it. So this is awesome. Great stuff. Bravo to Microsoft and MLB. Keep that Game Pass momentum rolling. This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff, like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlockd. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Definitely. Speaking of momentum, E3 is trying to rebuild it from scratch because all their momentum died for sure last year, if not the year before. E3 2021 will return as an all-digital format. It is confirmed. We have the dates now, June 12th to the 15th. It confirmed to include, is Nintendo participating, Xbox participating, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media. So Sony not on this list. They did not participate. Well, there wasn't one last year, and they didn't participate in 2019. Also missing EA. They've been out of, they've given the middle finger to the ESA for years now, doing EA Play. Square Enix, they're out. As of now, anyway, the ESA just making it clear this is a tentative list for now. Sega, still on the sidelines for now. Bandai, Tencent, 505, and Activision. Now, Activision also has sat out the last E3 or two as well. They're promising live press conferences during this June 12th to the 15th window and a four-day-long video stream. God help the hosts of that. so it'll be a heck of a production. And they say the show will be, quote, a reimagined and hyper-engaged digital experience. Let me go Destin's way on this first. So, Destin, it seems that there's a name that wasn't included there, and that's Bethesda.
Oh, well, yeah, they are doing an event. Like, they confirmed that during the roundtable. So
now we know it's a joint event, basically.
Yeah, and Koch Media Deep Silver is what you should be reading between the lines there. And I was just looking up really quick a few of their properties. They've done some interesting stuff the last few years.
Saints Row would be the number one thing that comes to mind that maybe they would announce.
Yeah, Metro and Dead Island 2 are also like pretty big franchises there.
Right.
I'm excited about E3. What does this look like digitally, though? I think, you know, the thing about E3 for me is like I like the Nintendo conference, I like the Xbox conference, and I like the PlayStation conference. And then E3 is just like this nightmare sea of people. E3 doesn't do a conference, right? They do like a series of live shows. So it's going to be more of that. But now Jeff Keighley is doing his own thing. We're doing our own thing. And they have a lot of competition on the block.
True.
So are they going to be able to rise to the expectation and challenge of what E3 is with this new event? It's going to be super interesting. They have some big names. What are they bringing content-wise? That's the question that I have.
Miranda, I want to go to you next. I mean, this is just an honest question. Do you care about E3 if it's not a physical thing that we're going to and seeing a bunch of games at?
Oh, of course. I mean, before I worked at IGN, it was always digital for me. So,
I mean, that's the thing.
I think that's a perspective sometimes we forget.
True.
Is that, yes, we get to go, and it's a big event for us to cover. And I think that still stands true, and there's going to be ways for us to do that in this new environment. We've already found some ways to do previews and stuff online and digitally. But for the large part, E3 was an online thing. And then media like us, we would bring the extra parts that happened after the press conferences. But I think there's a lot of fond memories of just sitting there and watching the press conferences one after another, like booking days off or maybe like skipping school. Actually, there was summer. There was no school. There was no school. I don't even remember what school is like anymore. I'm so old. No, I'm not that old yet. Okay, anyway. But there are things to still look forward to. And honestly, it comes down to these individual companies, right? Really bringing their presentations to make them that something enjoyable and engaging for their audience. And I think E3 has the ESA specifically needs to put them together in interesting fashion. And it sounds like what they're doing as far as being hyper engaged part is what they're going to bring to it. Right. So they have to find a way to weave everything together and to make people feel like that they are involved, which makes sense because their last time in 2019, that was their focus. Right. They wanted to have a fan experience and really integrate fan interactions. And so if this is their digital version of that, it's going to be interesting to see how they incorporate it just because there's, I would assume, many people watching. So how do you make sure that you don't get in the way of the reveals and everything around it, but still integrate that fan interaction? But that's for them to figure out and not us. So,
hey, Destin, remember that time that they accidentally doxed a bunch of media members by leaking all their personal information?
Ryan, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
There was that. anyway, but
yeah, that is
Lord
true.
Cognito, does seeing E3 back as a thing energize you as a gamer?
Slightly. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm always going to have a nostalgic piece of history. Obviously, I met pretty much all of you, you know, at E3 at some point, and you know, it's right now they're in a transitionary period, I feel, and you know, we have to see, I think that's a bit of a good point. We have to see, you know, the format on how they approach it. Because like you said, you know, Jeff Keighley, he's got his own thing. You guys have a great thing going on, you know, with the summer events. So what a lot of companies have realized is that from a financial standpoint, you know, you're able to save money and then kind of control the message, right? So it's up to now the ESA and E3 to really drive home engagement and make this kind of a real big event. And the question, actually, I want to throw it back to you quickly, Ryan, because the question I have in this format, I don't know if they may not have said it just yet, but, you know, are we going to have the traditional press conferences? For example, like when, you know, Microsoft would do a conference and then the E3 showing and stuff like that. Now, obviously, it's all digital, you know, there's not going to be a physical presence there. But I'm curious because I know for me personally, selfishly, you know, one of the things I loved E3 as an event, but the actual highlight for me was actually, you know, the production, the right. announcements, the surprises, you know, that kind of thing. And obviously in an all digital event because of the pandemic, some things are going to have to change. But I'm curious to see the format. The format is going to be very interesting. And then hopefully, you know, God willing, with the pandemic and everything, you know, next year, this kind of sets them up for the hopefully eventual physical event. So that, I guess that's my question, you know, formatting and conferences yeah. and things of that nature. How are they working with the partners, you know, specifically?
You make a great point. I mean, yeah, that engagement and how they keep people's attention will be key. I mean, they have promised, quote, live press conferences. Like they do explicitly say that, even though they haven't offered details. So I think what that tells us is, I think it's safe to say that we now know that the Microsoft Xbox / Bethesda E3 press conference will fall somewhere in the June 12th to 15th window. Now, technically, in normal non-pandemic in-person physical E3 years, the Microsoft press conference and actually all the major press conferences would take place officially before E3. Yeah. But I would imagine now in 2021 here in this format that the Xbox conference will take place within that June 12th to 15th window. So we'll just wait to see where they go. Will they go first? I mean, if Sony does indeed not participate, it might behoove Microsoft to try and put their flag in the ground and stake claim to the first slot to kick off the whole darn thing, to really try to, you know, get people's attention right out of the gate. Rather than, you know, letting a number of other publishers go first. That's what I'm curious of is where Microsoft will slot into this. And really, I mean, just as a gamer, I'm certainly interested to see. I mean, Sony's going to do something, and there's nothing stopping Sony from doing a press conference within that window. They're just not part of the E3 banner. You know, they're not flying under that banner. So maybe it's more likely that Sony will go the week before, the week after, somewhere close to that. But yeah, it's at least it's starting to take shape now. And I don't know. I mean, like, Miranda, I don't know about you. I, for one, I want this to be successful because I want E3 to rebuild itself back into a premier experience for the industry, because I think the industry is better off with a Super Bowl style event every year rather than like a scattershot million different little smaller events. And quite frankly, I love every year. I've gotten to go to however many it is, 15, 16 E3s. I love it because it's my favorite part of the year at IGN.
No, I totally agree. I love E3 so much. And I felt so lucky that I got to ever go. So I started going in 2015, and it was definitely a dream of mine. I remember being little Miranda, having her breathing treatment one night watching Twilight Princess presentation that was recorded from E3 with my parents. And it was just such an important thing for me. And I was like, man, I can't wait to, I hope I get to go someday. And being able to be there is just such an experience. And honestly, it's an honor to be able to cover it too.
It is.
And to make sure that we can present everything that others can't necessarily go and see themselves. And I do love that excitement that bubbles around it. Like, there's something just so energetic about having all, like, swath of information at once rather than having everyone having their own little events. And I can totally understand why people would want their own events. But I would like to see E3 come back in a better way.
So stay tuned for more details. But yes, I mean, IGN has its doing our Summer of Gaming event again. So there is plenty of summer gaming. Who am I pointing towards?
This is Destin.
I've been trying to be respectful because I know Ryan has other considerations.
That makes me a bad host. But the way my setup is, my screen's over here. My camera's over here. You guys are to the corner of my eye. I'm doing my best.
You're good. You're good.
I'm sorry, Destin. Go ahead.
I screwed up your break. But anyway, what I wanted to say was it's interesting that both Lord and Miranda bring up the perception that the Microsoft, the Sony conferences are part of E3. Really, what Sony and Microsoft decided to do is plant their shows in the flag surrounding the E3 conference. Now, looking specifically on the website is they do say there will be live press conferences and a 4-day video stream. And then the attendees who are participating include Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two. But those people also have their own conferences. So it just leaves me really curious. What does that mean specifically? And like, I don't think Microsoft is going to do their whole conference as part of E3. E3 has leaned so hard into the physical in-person event and bragging about their attendance numbers that I honestly think they sort of lost sight of what was really, really special about E3 a little bit. So I am glad that they're going digital. It's going to be really interesting to see if they pull it off. At the very least, it does give people a date to rally behind.
Yeah.
Because E3 and the ESA have said, this is when we're doing our thing. We have some big names associated with us. But being part of E3 in the past for developers and publishers is just ridiculously expensive. And I wonder if this last year has made them sort of reevaluate what E3 is all about.
Well, I hope they've been reevaluating it because, as we just talked about, there have been a number of major publishers that have bailed on E3 officially over the last few years.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like I've really enjoyed the conferences that people have done themselves in the past and currently. So what is E3 going to bring to the table that elevates it in some way? Right. Are they able to do that? Because the stuff that people are on the panel are mentioning that they loved about it were those individual conferences. And now we get those with or without E3.
I just want them all at the same time. I just want to be busy. Miranda. I want to be super busy all at once and then double it.
I love the consolidation. Yeah. That's my only thing about everyone having their own. It's all over the place. And having that centralized, like Ryan said, like that Super Bowl feel in its hey, it's few things that can match E3 when it was in that format. So you're right, Destin. It's up to E3 now to show how much they've evolved to compete with these different formats. It has to be a spectacle to make people drawn to this new format that they're going to try to attempt.
Yeah, it was always the Monday before E3 officially started the next day was always the best when you'd have Microsoft in the morning and then Ubisoft and EA and then Sony. And it was just one after the other all day. And then you get Nintendo the next morning and Bethesda would usually go the night before. And it was just, I'm with you guys. Just this run of it was one Christmas morning present unwrapping session after another. And that's what made it fun as both gamers enjoying it and also as media people covering it. So, here's to the ESA figuring out a way to recreate that in a digital format and hopefully earning themselves enough goodwill and momentum to bring us all back to the Los Angeles Convention Center in person to do it bigger and better than ever next year. All right. Something that popped off right before we recorded last week, actually, but still very relevant this week. And Miranda even came prepared with a prop for this because she just happens to own exactly what we're talking about. So the Xbox wireless headset, we've talked about that. It's fantastic. I've been using it a lot. In fact, I mean, I exclusively use it when I'm using my Xbox now. I'm really it's a really great headset for $100. Does it sound as good as the $300 Astros that I have that are wired? No, but it sounds good. It's very convenient. It's really well designed. It's comfortable. I'm super happy with it for $100. If you're not, or if you're looking for a higher end option, Bang & Olufsen has you covered. They're going to be bringing wireless deluxe, very premier, upscale wireless Xbox headphones. There they are on the screen if you're watching on video. $500. The same price. So, you know, rather than buy that PS5 to go inside your Xbox Series X.
I'm sorry, the poor audio quality on these headphones I'm wearing, my non-$500 headphones. Guys. I didn't hear that. How much?
I can't hear your sarcasm properly.
$500. So they're going to come in three different colors. I guess we're looking at presumably the black anthracite here. Maybe that's the gray mist. I don't know. And then there's navy brass. Designed by Jacob Wagner in partnership with Bang & Olufsen's design team. These over-the-ear headphones feature, I mean, this is where, so we're going to get serious here. So lambskin ear cushions for great sound isolation, fully immersive audio. Calfskin leather on the exterior headband with bamboo fiber textile on the inside band. And the cushions on the top of the headband help prevent fatigue and head pain from long use, which I know, Miranda, we talked about before we got on the air. You were bringing that up. You can order the black ones today, while the other ones are going to ship in May. They are going to be out on April 29th. Again, $499. They offer a sophisticated aesthetic and can be used in any situation. So they're pitching them as not just for Xbox. You know, you'd use them with anything else in your life, out and about with your, you know, listening to tunes on your phone or what have you. But yeah, they'll connect up no problem to either Xbox One or the Xbox Series. Also Bluetooth, of course, for PC use or with your phone. Active noise cancellation, that's a big one. And they say they're claiming 24 hours when using Bluetooth with active noise cancellation. So yeah, these are very upscale. Now, Miranda, what have you got there?
So, yes, I have a Bang & Olufsen. So this is the Beoplay 8 or H8i. So these were about $300. I got them on Black Friday. So I got them. That's discounted. It was $300. I've had these since late 2019. And they have been by far my favorite pair of headphones I've ever owned. So when I was finally ready to invest in like a nice pair of headphones and not just like the cheapy $12 earbuds that lasted me forever and were fantastic, but I needed something a little bit better for my commute, I ended up going with these because, one, I have a rather small head. And a lot of headphones don't sit really well on my ears and they sit on my jaw. And so when they do, it starts hurting my jaw, my head hurts, don't like it. So that's when I went with B&O and I said, oh, well, like they're actually really stylish. And not only that, but they sound incredible. Like I love the bass on mine. Sometimes I just run around with my apartment just wearing those. The active noise cancellation is not a joke. Like it is really cool. It's also a thing that you can like turn on and off, and which I appreciate. So like if I do want to be able to hear my surroundings, I can kind of hear it. But if not, it's hard to describe. It's just weird when you have it on because it's definitely a setting, like something that just whoop. It's like you're in a vacuum almost. And so I really adore that. And I know what they're going for here is not just meant to be for playing games, right? Right. That is a big part of it. And one of the things that I was curious about, and honestly, if I had an extra $500 sitting around, I would be so interested in getting these because the technology that they have for the Beoplay portal and their like audio app is really interesting. So they have like preset game modes for RPG or first person shooter. And if you really play first person shooters intensely, you know, you have to be listening. Like if you're not using audio to your advantage, you're already behind everyone else. So I'm curious to see how that actually changes things with toggling it, because I think there's a lot of really great headsets out there that will just do it mostly well for you as far as giving you that perspective of like where audio is coming from. But I'm curious to see like just how much different it is with those headphones. And I know a lot of what you're paying for too is the materials. Like those are not inexpensive materials. So you're definitely paying for something that's a little bit more of a premium feature. And from my experience with the ones that I've had, again, I got them on sale. So, cause they are quite the investment, but they're an investment I've been so happy to have. And the battery life lasts a long time. And again, I was saying that the idea for these, it's not just meant to be used for your Xbox game time. Like the idea is that you could go take these and travel with, and they just look really sleek and nice and have a good battery life. I also like, what else do I like about it? There's just like a lot of other good features for it. So I don't know if these have it, but whenever you remove the headphones, it pauses your music and stuff. Nice. So like, there's just a lot of little features in these that I think are just a premium experience that I didn't know I would want or would work well. And I'm so happy with the ones I have. But again, mine were $300. So I'm curious as to why this is $500 and how much better they do actually sound.
And I would have to imagine that the drivers and other actual like internal guts of the headphones are better than the $100 Microsoft ones as well. And yeah, you know, it's there is definitely sticker shock with this, and they know it's not for everyone. But that's the thing. It's if you're a heavy Xbox gamer and who also likes to, as like you, Miranda, you know, listen to stuff out and about. There is definitely a case to be made for these. I mean, I sit here, I love and adore my Xbox Elite Series 2 controller, which costs as much as a regular controller does.
It's so good.
and to me, it's you know, it's a you get a good bit for your money there. So, these are five times more than the Xbox wireless headset and as much as the console itself. But yeah, there is an audience for this. Destin, you're in video production. You do a lot with AV in general. Are these tickling your fancy at all?
I really want to dive into the quality that the headphones actually output. I'd be really, really interested to look at these a lot more closer because I'm looking at the stats next to Astro A50s and I'm really, really curious because I believe these are A40s or A50s. I don't remember off the top of my head.
If they're wireless, they should be A50s.
Yeah, they're just old. But I've been an Astros fan for a decade or longer. But I'm curious to see if the quality has retained as much as I think it has over the last 10 years, right? So $500 for me, it's very high. And for me, like leather versus cloth, I like cloth more than leather. That's easier. Like everything on these headphones are easy to replace. You can easily take that off. You can do custom plates. You can do all sorts of little, like the headband and such on these headphones. You can easily do. Bang & Olufsen, the headphones, to Miranda's point, look very nice. It looks like it fully encompasses the ear, which is actually something that I really consider with all of my headphones because otherwise you're getting pressure on your ear and pressure on the side of your head. Mm-hmm. I also wear glasses, so it's important to me that it's not pressing on my temples too much. And I would say that after about like a long day, like if I work a long day where I'm wearing these all day, I will eventually start to feel pressure, but I don't think that's specific to Astros. I think that's just headphones in general.
Yeah.
You're going to feel hot or something on your head and that slight pressure over a 12-hour day, you know, is going to get to you. So I'm curious. Yeah. I don't want to say definitively. I think it's too expensive. Just like $500, it just seems like a really, really high price point to me.
I mean, they're a luxury. They're definitely, they're like, hey, we're offering you a set of headphones that will work potentially so wonderfully with the Xbox, but they're also stylish. Like, this does not scream gamer, right? Like, that's the thing is, like, you're paying for, it's like a fashion product also. It's not just supposed to be the tech. And that's why it is also going to be more expensive, honestly.
I think you're right on the money, Miranda. Like, literally, it is a fashion statement to say, oh, I have this fancy thing, and it's a bit of bragging rights, right? But when there's so many competitors on the market for $300, are they going to sell it? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's really just interesting to me. I would love to personally test it. I think Bo Moore, our tech editor, is going to do an excellent job with looking at these, comparing them to other brands or whichever freelancer Bo ends up assigning it to, who just really knows his stuff about audio. Because at the end of the day, I want the best audio on my headphones. And especially when you're playing a game that really leans into the audio aspects, like I'm playing through Hellblade again, the original Hellblade, and the audio effects in that game when you're dealing with her mental illness and how that's conveyed through the audio. And in addition to that, the audio advances that we've had over the last few years, are they able to take full advantage of that versus a $300 set of headphones.
Cognino, where do you fall with these?
I think Miranda and Destin really knocked it out the park. I mean, for me, at first, when you're reading the specifications of the headphone, of course, I'm chuckling a little bit because this really seems like extreme pristine quality. And it's definitely looking to, I guess, cater to the audiophile, right? Because, you know, for me, like you said, Ryan, I have the, $100, the new Xbox wireless, and I've been enjoying it. You know, I guess my only negative, if I had to, you know, say like nitpick, would be like Destin said, like after long use, you know, on your head after a while, especially as a glasses wear, you know, you start to wear, that starts to wear on you, and then microphone quality. So to Destin's point, I'm very curious when, you know, hopefully IGN does that breakdown. I'll be right there to check that out, you know, and see how that compares. How truly does it compare from a specification standpoint, from an audio standpoint, and also from Atmos, because Atmos is really something that excites me in the gaming space. And now that I've had my feet wet with it, it's truly game changing. You know, Gears has it. I really feel it's transformative. It sounds amazing, especially with streaming services like, you know, the movies and stuff like that, or, you know, most of the HBO Max and all these different streaming services use it. So you got that. And to Miranda's point, I think it they are catering to this different market. It's clearly also a fashion statement amongst other things. So it may not be for me in my price range, but there may be, you know, a group that says, look, I want pristine audio quality. I want comfort. And like you said, I can sit here and like you said, right, I can sit here and laugh, but I'm the same guy who paid $200 for an Elite controller because it's that value to me.
Right.
So now that I've come around after joking about the illustrious quality that you were describing it, I said, you know what? In fairness, they may have a market here. But to Destin's point, I do need to see those comparisons if it's worth that price to value proposition. I need to know what it sounds like. So I'm waiting for that, Destin.
I would say too, like, kind of emphasizing this again, I think there is an intention for you to take these outside of your home, like after you play games. Like, it's not meant to just be for games. And I think they're trying to emphasize that to try to get more of a use case. Cause like, do you take your Astros out when you go for a walk?
I don't.
No.
I wouldn't take any over ear headphone out for a walk. Not like this. I would take earbuds.
Yeah. I think everyone has a different use case, but for people who would want over-ear headphones, like I like over-ear headphones so people don't talk to me. So, but also I think these also have a cool feature potentially if they have the same as the ones that I do, but there's a way for you to toggle it so you can hear things around you. So essentially it uses your mic so you can listen to people and things without having to take off your headphones. So sometimes I do that as like a safety feature, just to like, if there's something like a commotion happening, I'll listen, but without having to take off my headphones. Or if I'm just like, hear someone saying something like suspicious, I'm like, I want to listen in. Give me the juicy gossip. But I'm not listening because I have headphones on. It's very silly. But just features like that, I think, is the intention that you can take it out of your home. Also, these product shots, guys, these apartments that they're in, it's just like, okay.
If you're watching,
must be
video,
nice to have that big leather couch.
None of these are shot in San Francisco, that's for sure, where we have rooms the size of closets. But well, we will definitely review these, whether it's one of us or whether it's from our tech team. These will get reviewed on IGN. Remember, we gave the regular Xbox, the new Xbox wireless headset, we gave that an 8, you know, and I totally concur based on my time with it. It is an excellent value at $100. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to compare the two and see how these shake out. And I think to Miranda's point at the very top of this segment, you know, it might be a thing where, yes, these are out in April, but maybe, you know, and a lot of people are still going to be trying to find a Series X between now and the holidays. Maybe it's a thing where you keep an eye on at IGN deals on Twitter, and you never know. Maybe they go on sale for $300 or $350 at the holidays, and you can pick them up at a much better price, like Miranda did with hers. So something to consider there as time goes on. Next, again, I told you at the top, this was an Xbox Power Hour. No multi-platform shenanigans this week. The Xbox Series X mini fridge, long joked about, now going to be a real thing. And it came out of a little, you know, clearly obvious Twitter marketing promotion, but all right, we're getting something cool out of it. Xbox defeated Skittles in a brand, basically a brand popularity contest from the official Twitter marketing account. There was a vote off, basically, and as you know, all these things are, I'm sure, pretty much staged outside of the votes themselves. But our friend Aaron Greenberg, the marketing boss at Xbox, as the vote was pretty tight heading into the final stretch of it, he took to Twitter and said, "All right, here goes. Help Xbox win this, and we'll put into production this year," and then in all caps, "real Xbox Series X mini fridges." Yep, you read that right. Not an April Fool's joke, not clickbait. And Xbox did defeat the colored candy by 1% in a total of 341,000 votes between cast overall in the poll. And following the victory, Aaron Greenberg thanked everyone on Twitter and said, quote, "The first fridge will be filled with games and headed to our friends at Skittles," of course. So taking the high road in victory, a gracious winner. So this is it, guys. I mean, do any of the three of you want to get a Series X mini fridge?
No.
I want one. No, Dustin. I want one real bad.
Thank you, Miranda.
It's just really cool.
When I have more space,
yeah,
then I'll talk about mini fridges, okay? But right now I am crammed in this tiny apartment in San Francisco. I do not have space for anything.
You see, so, yeah. Here's probably what I would do is I'd have it. I already have a fridge, and it is plenty large enough for my own things, but I could have a beer fridge, guys.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Fridge. And then eventually I take that out, and then I could take it to the office and put it in the wiki corner. And then it could be a food fridge with some beer for me for later.
Xbox Beeries X.
There we go. There we go.
I like it.
Yeah. No, that's not how that works.
It's cool to see them just have fun.
I'll begrudgingly like that.
Did you guys vote for Xbox in the poll? Did you see it? I did.
No, I didn't vote because those things are just, you know, they're just, it's just marketing. It's like, I don't need to vote in this.
It is, but I don't like Skittles. So I was like, really Xbox, good. You should win.
Yeah, I will say, if I had voted, I definitely would have voted for Xbox. And not just because I'm on an Xbox show, because... I'll be honest. I know we're gonna lose some listeners here.
Let's go.
I've never liked Skittles.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I haven't liked them either.
Not a fan.
I don't like candy. Like that.
Sorry, Skittles.
Damn. That was cool to see, you know, just the marketing teams have fun and, you know, the community get behind it. It was a feel-good moment. And it just, to me, all it did was culminate a great week for Xbox. You know, as far as W's are concerned, they got another win in the public eye and perception.
That's true. A good point. Yeah, that's just keeping the hot streak alive for everybody at Microsoft. So, Miranda, well, you never know. Maybe Aaron Greenberg will hear this and an Xbox Beeries X mini fridge, because I'm doing that now. We'll show up at your door. You never know.
You never know.
And can show us all on the podcast what beers you have in it.
Would love to.
All right. We are starting to run out of time, so I'm going to move next to the loot box. Reminder that we are now taking loot box questions, still via video, but we're taking them via Twitter now. So just record yourself on video, post it to Twitter. Please tag me. I'm at DMC_Ryan so that I can make sure to see it. And then I'm keeping a running document with everybody's video questions in there. So the loot box, as a reminder, is the segment of the show where you can just ask us anything. Just pose an Xbox question to the panel for discussion. And our question this week comes from Zach Shipley. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Unlock Crew. This is Zach Shipley coming to you from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've got a loot box question for you. I can't help but notice by looking at the DICE Awards, BAFTAs, VGAs, and other awards organizations that, you know, there's a lot of awards going to games like Hades and Last of Us and Animal Crossing. These are all really good games, but none of the games that were nominated for major awards last year even appeared on Xbox systems, let alone were made by Xbox. Do you think that with Microsoft's long-term strategy with acquiring Bethesda and beefing up all their internal studios, that they're going to be looking to not just make great games that you know, play well in Game Pass and are crowd pleasers, but do you think they have a long-term strategy towards making more Game of the Year type nominee games and like really prestige games, like how some studios, movie studios, release prestige movies for Oscars and Golden Globes, or TV channels release stuff specifically to like win a bunch of Emmys. So do you think it's not just about sales and Game Pass subs, or do you think they're going to try to win more awards in the future? Look forward to hearing your feedback, and thanks again for the great show.
Thank you very much, Zach. All right, guys, I'm going to go around the room here, starting with Miranda. Go ahead, Miranda. What do you think on this one?
I would like to think that rather than focusing on awards, they're more so focusing on just making sure we're getting really excellent games. And I think that's the first step for everything, right? I'm sure the developers would love to win awards, and I'm sure Xbox would like to be a little bit more synonymous with that. I do think, Zach, you absolutely have a great point that when it does come to award season, sometimes you're like, okay, these games that maybe that have come out recently maybe barely edge into certain categories, but they're not necessarily always the Game of the Year nominees that we see pushing forward. And so I do hope that we see those big, amazing quality games that we see on other systems come about. And I think they will, just because I know what we have with how Microsoft has sort of approached its studios is like, okay, we have faith in you. We like your games. You are now part of our team. And we are essentially giving you that space to just go make your games. And so hopefully with that sort of mindset, these studios will be able to make really great games.
Lord Cognito, take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's going to be a situation, like I said, with Microsoft's approach with kind of hands off and letting the development process take shape. You know, we're going to get quality. You know, I have a lot of faith. I'm a huge Obsidian fan. You know, I think Compulsion has some things cooking. Playground, as we know, is working on Fable stuff. I think also the size of these teams have shown that they can do multiple projects. So I think it's only a matter of time. I know Xbox fans were like waiting, you know, for a while. But the reality is, I think it's cooking. I'll use a sports analogy. It's almost like, you know, you've got all these great draft picks, and it's only a matter of time before those cultivate and grow, and you get a superstar out of that.
Trust the process, right?
Yes. Yeah, trust the process. Now, if they didn't have a good farm system, then I'd be worried. But because of we're seeing the investment and the commitment, I am confident it's only a matter of time.
If you know, you mentioned you're a big Obsidian fan, so is Avowed the number one game on your first party list right now?
Absolutely, yeah. Obsidian. I don't want to spoil too much, but I'm super excited. I'm super excited. I love that team over there. Also, don't sleep on Compulsion. It's a thing I have on Iron Love Podcast. The Xbox community gives me a little bit of hard time. I call it hashtag just one, which is new IP, third person, kind of cinematic style, right? And because I feel Xbox needs that new hero going into the generation or the new protagonist. So I think Compulsion may be, because from what I understand, that may be the formula that they may be approaching with their next title. So I've got a lot of faith in Xbox Game Studios. A lot of good talent over there.
Absolutely. Destin, what do you have to say to Zach here?
Xbox Game Studios will absolutely be winning awards. If not in 2021, it will definitely happen in 2022. They have a killer lineup of developers and talent. They will be in this showcase and taking home the awards very soon.
Nice. Yeah, and I'll say, I mean, I hope they're gunning for awards because that's, I mean, in all seriousness though, it would be interesting to ask that point blank of a AAA, like a director, creative director level person is like, are you actually in your, even if you won't admit it, like in your deepest of egos, are you thinking, I want to win Game of the Year with this? Or I mean, I'm sure everybody's different, but, or do they, you know, do most of them not think that way and just think, I gotta, you know, just trust the process, trust the team and try to deliver the best thing they can. But cause it, I guess, you know, the bottom line is sales, Game Pass subscriptions will follow if the games are excellent. You know, there'll be a natural byproduct, but yeah, I hope that that the team at Playground that's rebooting Fable is coming into work every day, even just from home, and thinking, what are we going to do today to make this one step closer to being the Game of the Year in 2022 or whatever? So I hope they're thinking that way.
Absolutely. Also want to shout out. Sorry, that's okay. I'll let you go.
I was just going to say, Ori was robbed also.
Oh, yeah, yes. Ori's up in the mix for sure. And yeah. I don't want to forget Ninja Theory. I forgot Ninja Theory.
Hellblade 2.
Yeah, Ninja Theory, shout out to them. And shout out to my homie Dizzy. He's a huge Ninja Theory. We always battle. We have these internal battles, like who's the best, you know, of the acquisition, so to speak. We know Bethesda's coming. It's pre-Bethesda. But yeah, Ninja Theory, they're going to be coming. Project Mara, a lot of stuff. Hellblade 2, a studio to watch out for.
That, and I mean, of the currently announced first party Xbox games, Hellblade 2 is probably arguably the most Sony first party like, right?
Yes.
Like that sort of emotional, you know, mm-hmm. deep, rich story, cinematic, third person action adventure kind of yes. game that could very well be that award yeah. bait, the Oscar bait, as it were.
Absolutely.
And I hope it is. I'm looking forward to seeing what Ninja Theory comes up with. Zach Shipley, thank you so much for your loot box question. Again, if you'd like to ask an Xbox question of the panel for us to discuss at this part of the show, just tweet it out in video form and tag me. I'm at @DMC_Ryan. And with that, we move to the Unlock Block trivia segment as our end of show tradition here. This question actually comes from our outgoing super producer, John Borba, as Red Rigos has stepped in to produce Unlock Now, which we're very happy to have Red. He's produced so much great stuff at IGN over the years. And John, on his way out, said, "Can I ask a trivia question?" And I said, "Yes, of course you can." So John asks this, and this is a good one. We'll see if we'll test your guys' memory here. Which of the following was Phil Spencer's favorite original Xbox game? And yes, he has gone on record publicly with this. So was it Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge, Voodoo Vince, Psychonauts, or Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic? These are all four excellent games. I've played all four of these, finished all four, love them. Miranda, I'm going to go your way first. Have you any thought here?
I think that weird grimace that I just made is an indication that I do not know. Sorry, Phil. But I get to learn today, though, so that's exciting. But if I were to guess what game Phil Spencer likes, I don't know. But I'm
He's listening, so no pressure.
No pressure. I hope the walk's going well. Let's just run with Psychonauts.
Psychonauts, yes. An excellent game from the mind of Tim Schafer. Now, yeah. I think out of the corner of my eye, now I'll look over here, I think Cognito seemed like he knew this. I think he's getting a pretty good idea. So I'm going to go Destin's way next before I go to Lord Cognito.
Destin? See Psychonauts.
Also, sticking with Miranda, going teamwork on this one. I like that. All right, LC, do you know the answer to this?
I believe I do. I believe he's on record for Voodoo Vince.
You are correct, sir.
I believe they got a remaster as well. Yeah.
Well done. Right. Yes.
I had a hunch.
The answer is Voodoo Vince. And he has said that it was the first game he played with, I don't recall if it was a son or daughter, but
daughter,
with a child. Yeah. So there's a special connection there for Phil to Voodoo Vince. Well done, Lord Cognito. In fact, I got to get you on the scoreboard here. At the rate my panel's going, you might win if we have you back on a couple more times, because it's been a slow year. That's all I'm going to say.
It's hard. I'm sorry. Oh,
I'm going to get this updated.
I got to catch it to my man Brandon, man. He's a beast.
I'm winning.
Miranda's
up right now. 3 points. Cam's 2. Destin's not even on the scoreboard yet, and it's getting embarrassing now. Talking about trust in the process, going for that 28-game losing streak. I like that. See, Destin doesn't know the reference, but Cognito knows what I'm talking about.
Baseball.
All right. We've got a few minutes left. And by the way, I very much welcome and encourage more good trivia questions. That was an excellent one from John Borba, so well played, John. If you have a good Xbox trivia question, you can email it to me. The email address is unlocked@ign.com. Please include the question, 4 multiple choice answers, and note the correct one in your email, and you might be featured on an upcoming show. All right, Lord Cognito, I don't think in thinking back to the beginning of the show, I don't think I did a good enough job promoting you and giving you your due plug here. because you've been on before, but for those that may have missed your first appearance, you do a tremendous podcast that I have been lucky enough to be invited on. Please tell us about, now that they've fallen in love with you over the last hour here, and they see you really, you're, I love having you on. I had a blast with you today. Where can people go check out your show?
Yeah, Iron Lords Podcast. So check us out on YouTube. Usually every Sunday is the Lord's Day. We'd like to celebrate those in the gaming community, whether it be content creation, developers, anybody involved with the process. Because I feel like, you know, even in media, you know, all of you don't get the credit you deserve. And as gamers, sometimes I think we take it for granted. So for us, it's more about celebration, you know, four lifelong friends having fun, but at the same time, you know, going over your gaming history. As you know, Ryan, you got Chief Miranda, got Chief Destin. I'm waiting on you. So waiting on you, Destin. I ain't going to let you go. but it was really fun to have you all on. Brandon was on as well. I think there's not enough celebration of what we appreciate. And that's what we try to bring. We bring gamers together. You know, it doesn't matter if your platform preference. Yes, we have a lot of Xbox, you know, preferences and stuff like that. But at the same time, we have, you know, Nintendo guests, big developers. We had Jason Ronald on, you know, from the Series X and Series S, which was tremendous for us. And we just try to do some positive things in the community.
And where can we find the show, and where can we find you on social media?
Sure. So again, at Iron Lord Podcast on Twitter. And then you can find me at Lord Cognito as well on Twitter, and also part of the Lords of Gaming Network. So that's lordsofgaming.net. And you can check us out there. We have great opinion pieces. And also you can find the episodes of the podcast and all the other things that we take a part of. And again, tremendous. Love you guys. You know, Unlocked is always a great time. And again, Ryan, thank you for the bat signal. Once I saw baseball, I'm here.
Yeah, the timing worked out great. I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Destin Legarry, I know you've got something to promote.
Yeah, so I've been sort of teasing it. Sometimes when I make something, I go all in, and I'm really, really proud of the work that I did on the Mass Effect Legendary Edition performance preview. You can take a look at first close-up gameplay of the original game. We also were provided gameplay of Mass Effect 2, including Leia the Shadow Broker. And we got to talk with BioWare about some of the changes in the series. And I'm really, really proud of how this piece came out. You can check it out now on IGN.com or YouTube.com/IGN. And then for my personal stuff, I've been recording vlogs at like 1:30 in the morning, and people have really been liking them over on YouTube.com/TheDestin Channel. So if you're into sleep-deprived Destin talking about game industry stuff, it keeps me really sharp for Unlocked. So I've really appreciated that additional benefit. So yeah, you can check that out too. But please, I'm so proud of the Mass Effect piece. Please go watch the Mass Effect piece. If you're a Mass Effect fan, I really think you're gonna like the care that they're giving the series and how they're evolving it so that it's playable basically in 2021.
It's really good. I would encourage, you know, try if you know, please watch it, but please try to watch it on a 4K screen if you can, or at least not your phone, because you know, the remaster's in 4K and Destin's piece is in 4K, and it's really well put together. And for me, Destin, it got me so amped for May to roll Mass Effect 1 again, which for me will be the first time since it came out. I only ever played each of them once. I just rolled the trilogy once as each of them came out, and Mass Effect 1's always been my favorite. So it really showed off the improvements that they've made from a technical standpoint as well. So great job on that. Miranda, take us home.
Yeah, so I'm just going to double down on Destin's Mass Effect video. If you guys haven't seen it, absolutely do.
Thanks, Brenda.
It's so good. I watched it this morning. It was over coffee. It was wonderful. I'm mostly just doing a lot of behind the scenes work right now, so nothing too interesting for you to look at unless you wanted to go check out anything on IGN Guides. We'd really support it. But otherwise, on personal stuff, I'm still playing Batman Arkham Asylum on my Twitch channel. So that's twitch.tv/HavocRose. And you pretty much find me at HavocRose anywhere around the web, including on IGN. Did you guys know that we have personality pages? So if you wanted to go see everything we've published, go search our usernames. Fine.
Awesome. For the great Lord Cognito, along with Destin, Miranda, and our producer, Rodrigo, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Podcast Unlocked, episode 489, and we'll see you all back here next week.
Bye. welcome. You've got one.
Digital folklore.
Monsters lurk in the shadowy corners of the internet. Our darkest fears peer back at us from the depths of the web. We can all...
Hey,
Linda Blair.
Are you all right?
No. Can we maybe do this a different tone? Hey there, I'm Perry Carpenter.
And I'm Mason Amadeus.
On our podcast, Digital Folklore, we explore monsters, memes, and everything in between.
Looking at our digital expressions through the lens of folklore, we break down the stories and communities we create online.
And we try to make it a lot of fun. The show is presented in an audio drama style with a narrative and soundscape that's designed to draw you in.
We weave insightful research and expert interviews with humor and storytelling. Come check it out.
Search Digital Folklore wherever you get your podcasts.